SMQBs. This is episode 37. This is our NFL Week 6 recap. And then more importantly, NHL 2021-2022 season preview. We even bring a Canadian, yes, that's right, a live in the flesh Canuck to talk about hockey this season. We have so many faces to punch. And yeah, unfortunately, no Lasso this week. But whatever, you'll have fun. Check it out. Enjoy it.
Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're five attorneys, they're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. From Dallas, Texas, Ryan Pope. Michael Rooster Phelan from Richmond, Virginia. Patrick Milk Meichler from Tampa. Toby House Milrod from Philadelphia. Chris Bison Nace from D.C.
SMQBs, this is episode 37. So he's a South African born German. He played hockey because that's what we're here to talk about tonight. He was a goalie. He won the, what's the trophy, Paul Miller, for the best goalie?
Vezina.
That's the one. He won that. He has top 30 in career saves. Wins, games, and
Martin Villon.
No. South African-born Germans. Come on, guys. Consider your questioner.
I was going to go with Dave Olaf Steve. Kolzik. I was sure it was Dave Steve.
Yes. Toby Olaf House for the win. Ole the goalie. This is episode 37 it's of the SMQBs.
Better 37 than that.
Wow. Well, you know what? Actually,
Dave
a couple
Steve.
Websites.
The only 37. Blue Jays.
Hockey. Steve.
Only the goalie. How hockey. Many Stanley Cups did only the goalie win?
No, that's not important. Kind of like Toronto Maple Leafs in the last 50 years. But well, listen, House, you got it right. And you have one player, House, who is a pillar of the community. He loves Philadelphia. He helped you win a Super Bowl. You have another player who can't hit a free throw, is afraid to play in Game 7, won't talk to his teammates, and overall is just a whiny little shit. Which one do you send packing out of town first?
Listen, I would love it if Zach Ertz could play basketball, but unfortunately, Ben Simmons is still on our team. It's a disaster. It's a total disaster.
Total. But can I ask you,
like our thousands of adoring fans, you just rolled out this guy, Paul Miller. Who's that?
Let's get an introduction.
Who's that guy?
We'll get there. It's hockey preview night. Listen, it's hockey preview night. We had to bring a Canadian into this because none of us have any fucking clue what we're talking about when it comes to hockey.
Except
Milk thinks he does because they won two in a row.
I don't know. I just get Stanley Cups.
By the time we get to Milk, he's going to drop off and his Cricket wireless is going to go bad anyway. So we had to bring in someone from Canada who has good internet.
I have one question. Do you guys do the NFL preview a week into the season?
Well,
we
had some scheduling problems.
It's been known to happen. Listen, be happy there is an NHL preview. Okay.
We'll be doing the NBA preview at least a week into the season as well.
All right.
Yeah.
By the way, it's October and the season ends in June. It's ridiculous.
The season's going to end in July.
July.
Yeah. The Stanley Cup will be
year round almost.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, before we get to hockey, we're going to spend a good amount of time on hockey. We are committed to it, hence the Canuck who's up in the upper left-hand corner here. But in the meantime, we got a little NFL to talk about. House, take it away on the NFL. What was this, week six? I stopped paying attention.
You know, week six is done. And every time we finish up one of these pods and get ready to hand over the next MVP trophy or the next Super Bowl champion, NFL parity rears its head. And I guess right now the only constant we have in the NFL of all things is the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals put the absolute beat down on the Cleveland Browns. Yes, they're injured. They're minus Nick Chubb. They're now minus Kareem Hunt. They're minus OBJ. Baker Mayfield may be hurt, but 37-14 was an absolute beatdown against a good defense.
We have another constant, the Lions.
The Lions are another constant that we'd rather not use any time on, but that team, just give them the number one draft pick and let them destroy him too. But, you know, there were some surprises this week. I know you guys all must have been surprised how the Ravens shut down Justin Herbert.
Oh, my God, yes.
Certainly Rooster was, sure, since he put money on them for the Super Bowl.
Phelan was crying.
I couldn't believe it. I really, honestly, I think Lamar Jackson has become such a better quarterback just in the last 2 weeks. Right. Remember we were talking about his inconsistency two weeks ago? Now he's accuracy. Now he's hitting guys in stride and throw. I mean, it's just amazing how much he's improving.
The Chargers the previous week had scored 47 points against the Browns. 1 week later, they could only put six up against the improving Ravens, who are now 5-1 and are taking control of that division.
Yeah.
The Vikings.
Isn't that great?
Whose defense? Chargers?
The Ravens defense is not like spectacular. Yeah,
right, but the Chargers run defense is horrendous.
Well, both those teams, I think, will make it to the playoffs, but the Ravens are pretty impressive early on. The Vikings, this, I think, the most mercurial team of this year, up and down. They put up 373 yards from Kirk Cousins, three touchdowns. Dalvin Cook, another 140 yards against the top-rated pass defense in the NFL, beat the Carolina Panthers 34-28. Pope, I don't know what you have to say about the Cowboys. That game should have never, ever been close.
Nope.
I think the Patriots are going to be, and I know we're just through week six, but they are improving rapidly. They've really pushed some teams so far. Mac Jones is improving 1 week after another. I did not know this, that the Cowboys were 0-5 versus Belichick and no win in New England since 1987.
Wow.
1987. But once again, big play from Trevon Diggs, clearly up there again for the defensive rookie of the year.
He could be the best cornerback in the league right now.
Well, I think arguably he is.
Yeah.
As a rookie, right?
And is he a rookie?
Second year. Second year. I mean, he's amazing.
That's a tough place to play, too.
They still suck.
It's a really tough place to play.
I'm not surprised that it was close.
Dallas has been jinxed by New England at home. And, you know, after Diggs had the pick six, they turned around and got burned on a double move. Now, our safety, who, by the way, got arrested this morning for DWI because he sucks balls.
Oh, now we're back in Dallas.
Darn. Yeah, there we go.
Right.
Cheers, all right. Yeah, well, we got it now. Right. Dallas, we know it.
Well, I mean, okay. did you see
the Cowboys?
Did you see the safe? Did you see our safety with his ole attempt to try to get that ball to knock it down?
That
at least
not a good play.
What
that
the was not fuck? A good play. So yeah, and then but you got to hand it to Dak though. 4th and 4, complete, you know, 3rd and 25, gets the ball close enough for Zuerlein to make a tying field goal. I mean, you got to
get. Is he hurt or not?
Yeah, so he's got a strained calf, and he probably would not play this week if they had to play, but they're bullish that he'll play against Minnesota next Sunday night.
Hey, speaking about mercurial teams, how about the Titans losing to the Jets and coming back and coming back and beating the Bills?
So we have got to give a shout out there to King Henry.
Oh, God.
Listen to these stats. 143 yards, another three touchdowns. And how about this for a stat? Henry scored his 11th career touchdown or 50 yards or more. He's only eclipsed by the following three players in NFL history. Adrian Peterson, Barry Sanders, and Jim Brown are the only three running backs.
I've heard of those guys.
50 plus yard touchdowns. He is a beast and right now is on target, just a rush for 2,200 yards. And he may get there.
A yard is a unit of measurement. It's roughly 36.
Guys,
how many meters?
Did you hear the,
I was going to say, how many meters is that?
It's a lot of fucking meters.
Did you hear the announcer say that Derrick Henry got up to 22 miles an hour on that run?
That was amazing.
I mean, for a man that size to run that fast, that's frightening.
Anybody volunteer to take him down?
No.
I feel like to try
Chris Nace would.
I'd like to try and tackle
him. I'd tackle him from behind, but I can't run that fast.
Is there any other team in the NFL that is as dependent on their running back than the Titans? And think about that. Nobody's dependent on their running back anymore.
No.
No way.
It's too many.
That guy will change the game for the Titans. If he has a bad game, they lose. When he does what he does last night, they go to Buffalo.
They start calling the right plays for him. They didn't run him in the first quarter, and look what happened.
But Let me just say this about our defending Super Bowl champions.
Oh, here we go.
So
the Bucs?
The Philadelphia Eagles are not a very good team. They've got a lot of holes. They've got a lot of injuries, and they've got a below average quarterback. The fact that you needed a referee to call a bullshit taunting.
Oh, it's the ref.
Oh, it's the ref. Hold on.
The game is 28-22. The Bucs have the ball on their own 20. First and 10, they run left to Fournette. He gets out of bounds for a 2-yard loss. And our linebacker gets up in Fournette's face and say, "I tackled you." And the flag goes up. And everybody
said, "I tackled you."
Whatever he said, it doesn't matter. It's, you cannot call that penalty at that point in time. And the fact is that that first down and running out the clock prevented a massive embarrassment. Dallas, Philadelphia, New England all could have and should have beat the defending Super Bowl champions. You've got problems.
Well, of course we have problems. Have you seen our secondary? Richard Sherman's hurt. We don't have anybody.
But the record isn't one of them. They're 5-1. A win is a win. Win is a win.
Screw the fucking Eagles for going for two and screwing all of us out of a
bet. Yeah, cost us money, motherfucker.
That's the story of the damn game.
And what about Tom Brady for taking a knee when he could have thrown a touchdown?
Oh, gosh. I get that, but going for two when you're down by eight?
Hold on a second. Where's the
production? What was that?
The production team is going to play back you guys saying it's at least a 2-touchdown win for the Bucs, right?
That was milk. That was milk.
Yeah.
But we were up 28.
You wrote that down when Milk said it.
No, you know why they went for it? Because of Milk's brother. That's why that happened.
That's right.
That's right.
He texted
me,
cash it in.
That's it right there.
That was it.
That's spiking the football.
That's your week six wrap up.
So the team we never talk about when we're talking about strong teams in the NFL is the Packers. They're 5-1 and nobody ever talks about them.
And how about Aaron Rodgers?
They're going to be 6-1 too.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to be 6-1. All right. Look, we got a tight agenda tonight. So we're going to go right into our Paul Krause takeaways. And Milk, you were about to say something. So you're up.
All right. My takeaway is last year he got hurt. So it's kind of a wash year. But I'm really, really liking what I'm seeing from Joe Burrow. A lot of questions on whether he was going to, hey, is this guy going to be the number one draft pick and all that? This guy's for real. He's got a long, long runway in the NFL. I'm loving what I'm seeing. He seems to get better every single week. The Bengals are 4-2. Keep an eye. It's crazy.
Well, they should be 5-1 because they missed easy field goals in overtime against the Packers.
Yeah. Joe Burrow's very, very, very for real. And he's going to win them a Super Bowl.
Whoa.
Not this year. Not this year.
A Super Bowl in Cincinnati. Get that.
He will bring the Charm Super City. Bowl in Cincinnati.
No. That's like a Stanley Cup in Toronto. It doesn't happen this century.
Hey, if 3 years ago I had told you Tom Brady would bring the Bucs the Super Bowl, you would have laughed at me.
Yeah,
probably because he was on the Patriots, but go ahead.
Hope, give us your takeaway.
I mean, it's an obvious takeaway, but the NFC is really top heavy this year. Usually there's a lot of parity in the NFC, but I mean, and I called it 3 weeks ago, all the division winners, and they're playing to exactly as we expected them. But the NFC is top heavy. You've got four teams with one loss and you got the Cardinals, and then you got the rest of the, they're all going to fight it out for the wild card. But, clearly Dallas, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and the Rams with one loss are going to challenge the Cards. And after that, not too concerned about the NFC.
So a lot of folks laughed at the thought that teams would be trading up in the NFL draft this year to get Mac Jones. But Mac Jones can manage an NFL game. And together with Bill Belichick, as long as Belichick stays around, Mac Jones will end up being the most complete and most accomplished quarterback of that class. He might not be the most talented, may not have the best arm, but Mac Jones can already compete well, and he's only going to get better. I think it was a really brilliant move by the Patriots. They're going to improve, and Mac Jones is a real NFL quarterback. We're the ones that should be laughed at for saying that was ridiculous. He could be drafted that high.
Yeah.
Rooster, your takeaway.
My takeaway is that for everybody who said week after week they're not yet sold on the Cardinals, you better be sold now. They're 6-0, just like the G-Men. And
let's make sure we understand that's not the New York Giants.
Yeah, that's not the Giant football team.
That's our fantasy football league. They're 6-0. Good defense. One of the best wide receivers in the league and one of the best quarterbacks in the league. They're the real deal. And, you know, they've beaten some good teams. They just beat the Browns. They beat the Rams. They're a good team.
That Browns was a statement game. That was big.
Yep. Yep.
My takeaway is that I am happier not watching football on Sundays. I had a lovely, lovely weekend. My takeaway from this weekend of
football. Chardonnay.
Is that the RDV 2018 Lost Mountain is going to be an excellent vintage in a couple of years, and that my time was much better spent sipping the wine in Virginia and Middleburg and Virginia wine country than it was watching the Washington football team blue ball all its fans on the for the first half and then come back and play exactly how we all know they're capable of. So that's my takeaway.
You know, I often go to restaurants looking for the Virginia wine collection. You know that?
Yes.
Chris and Ace will know all of them very soon.
In Canada, those are known as world reds.
Fellas, good to see it. I have exciting news.
It's called cooking wine.
I have a very exciting news to tell you about the Plaxico Burress Locks of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
The lock contest. I have amazing news. We're all still in first place. That's the great news. The bad news
is possible.
We're 1-5. Each of us. Because you four dipshits decided to have some fun with House. All took the Bucks.
Oh, I don't know about that. What are you talking about?
And the best part of that night was watching you guys lose $800 in Vegas in your goddamn lock of the week. So you guys all took the L, taking the Bucks -7. I way underestimated the Cardinals. I thought the Browns would pull off the win there. I took the Browns. I was wrong. So we all took an L. We're 1-5. This week, we're going to start with Bison. Do you have your lock of the week for week number 7?
I think so. I'm gonna follow up on what a couple people were saying here, particularly Rooster. I don't even know what the points are in this game, but I'm going with the Cardinals.
That's Cardinals. Smart.
17.5.
Cardinals. That the line is enormous.
17.5.
That's it's 17 fine. And
take
half.
It. Take it.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
They're playing the Texans.
Double down.
The Texans. They'll be up 17.5 at halftime.
You'll probably win the bet.
I love it.
All right. Listen, I'm 1-5.
That's the biggest line. That's the biggest line of the year.
That's right. They'll cover. Why shouldn't I try it?
Let's go to Mr. Undefeated Fantasy Boy. Rooster, 6-0 in Fantasyland, 1-5 in Lockland. What's your lock this week?
I'm going with the Ravens on their march to the Super Bowl.
Wow. Ravens -6. Well, I'm going to double up right there. I like the Ravens as well this week. I'm also going to take the Ravens at -6.
Who are they playing?
Pope, are you going to make it a trifecta?
I am. That's where I was
Ravens
going.
Ravens are playing the Bengals at home. And so we've got three now with Pope, Rooster, and House. Ravens -6, leaving it to you, Milk.
Look, I'm betting against the team that just lost to the Jaguars. The Dolphins are horrific, even with Tua. The Falcons are not that bad. Good offense. They're only -2.5. I like the Falcons at the Dolphins.
All right. Paul, we'll wait for you to learn one day what NFL football is about, and then maybe we'll give you a pick one day.
I prefer good. Football with three downs.
He took the Argonauts. He took the Argonauts -7.
Listen, there we go.
I wish we could stop talking about the NFL right there, and I am going to want to get our Canadian colleagues' input on this one. But we can't just talk about the games played in the NFL this week. Rooster, we got to address some other issues, don't we?
Yeah, let me tee this up and then we can all talk about it. I mean, this, as we've been talking about week after week, this has been a great season for the NFL. Everything they could have wanted, right? Great games like the Titans-Bills game last night. We got five talented rookie quarterbacks who are all playing. We've got big time performances from other young quarterbacks like Herbert and Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and Kyler Murray. We've got all kinds of parity where teams that didn't used to be good are now good, like the Cowboys. Just kidding, bro.
just 26 years good. Later.
Then we get hit, last week with the news of these John Gruden emails. And I thought for sure Gruden was going to be our punchable face of the week. But, he's for sure done as a coach and a TV analyst after his racist, misogynistic, and homophobic emails came to light. But then the news just kept leaking out. And then now the story is much bigger than Gruden or his email buddy, Bruce Allen. Then to me, the story is, Roger Goodell is a puppet of the NFL and does nothing to investigate these things. And the NFL itself absolutely covered up this entire story, which is the story of the Washington Football Team investigation, which started in May of 2018 with a New York Times story exposing this Harvey Weinstein-esque trip to Costa Rica, where the team brought down their biggest team sponsors and suite holders, and then had their best looking cheerleaders join them and took their passports from them as soon as they got there. So now these women are captives in this place in Costa Rica, and they're forced to pose topless for most of the weekend with these, old white dudes and serve as escorts to them. And, these are the same photographs that Bruce Allen decides from his Washington Football Team email account to share with John Gruden, God knows who else. I mean, this is the mentality of these folks, right? And so, as you guys might remember, I know Bison does, after this story broke, Dan Snyder's minority owners were up in arms and wanted him to sell the team. He refused. They decided to hire Beth Wilkinson's law firm to do an investigation, which the NFL eventually took over. And of course, the NFL covered it all up. There was no report issued. There's no release of any information other than to say it was a toxic environment. They didn't fire anyone. Bruce Allen had already been fired for other reasons. They gave Dan Snyder a slap on the wrist and made him pay $10 million. The guy's a billionaire. And then the most ridiculous thing was they put his wife in as CEO for a few months. And now Snyder's back and in fact owns a bigger percentage of the team than when this all started. So the NFL,
the whole percentage.
Yeah. He's now 100% owner. He bought them all out. The NFL absolutely buried the report and it gave out almost no information about this. And where the hell is, Roger Goodell when he's supposed to be monitoring all this? So the interesting thing is now out come all these leaks recently. And turns out that this Wilkinson law firm investigation not only included in interviews, which were definitely either recorded or there were notes taken contemporaneously, but also they collected at least 650,000 emails. Including the nude emails that Bruce Allen shared with all his buddies. Nobody in their right mind thinks that Gruden and Bruce Allen are the only people with something to hide in this $650,000 emails. There's just no way, right? So one of the interesting questions to me is, who's behind these leaks? So far, the leaks have only targeted Gruden and Adam Schefter for being such a pathetic yellow journalist that he shares his stories on the football team with Bruce Allen before he publishes them. Big deal in the big picture, right?
Right.
But somebody authorized the leaking of these emails. Was it Roger Goodell? Because some of the emails from Gruden, are just calling Goodell all kinds of nasty names. Was it the Raiders? Because they still owe Gruden, who's barely above 500 in total wins. They still owe him like $66 million. Or was it somebody at the Wilkinson law firm who you know, probably signed, the firm probably signed an NDL when they took the job and can't really comment. And so there's so much nasty stuff in there. They can't bear to keep it secret, and they're leaking it out. What do you guys think? Who do you think's leaking this information?
Well, listen, Chucky pissed off the wrong person. I mean, clearly somebody was out for Gruden to begin with, but is it somebody from the Washington football team that doesn't want to go down with the ship alone that's leaking it? I mean, what, it's hard to figure. This is really poisoning, like you said, Rooster, what is otherwise a very exciting NFL season. If they don't get a grip on this, because the New York Times and the Washington Post are not going to let this story go.
No, there's no way.
And so who benefits the most from these leaking other than the football team?
The Raiders.
Why?
They have a mediocre coach. Milk's been saying all along he's a bad coach, and they owe him $66+ million. Or it could just be revenge, right? By God, I don't know.
They still own the money, right?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Clause, right?
Yeah, right.
Morals clause.
But how does it benefit Washington?
Well, because they're already taken down. I mean, Snyder's already in the mess that they're in. All these stories were previously out. Wouldn't he rather have the comfort of other stained bedfellows dealing with this?
Well,
issue?
Also, as the Sean Taylor thing this week shows, he thinks distraction works. He's like the
yeah.
I don't get.
He
that.
Does.
I think that's true, and we'll talk about the Sean Taylor thing later for sure. But you know. I think for Dan Snyder, this is a terrible development for him. He was past this. He was hit with a $10 million fine. He was turned over the day-to-day operations to his wife while he focused on a new stadium. That was his, you know, he was going to step away, focus on a new stadium deal. The longer this stays out there, the more pressure there's on the NFL. I mean, remember, the NFL is, you used to say that the Senate was the most exclusive club in the country, right? The United States Senate. But it's actually being an NFL majority owner. There's 32 of them, right? And these guys, and I think they are all guys, by the way.
31 of whom are white.
Right. And they rally around each other because they all have the same shit in their closets, and they don't want people poking around, and they don't want to set the precedent that, you know, we're going to have thorough investigations because they don't want to be the next one. So, you know, I don't think this benefits Dan Snyder, and I don't think it benefits any NFL owner at this point, because House, I think you're right. The Washington Post, the New York Times, they're going to keep digging now. They're going to keep digging because there's more there than what we've seen.
Which brings up to me the bigger question is, I mean, just based on history of Watergate and everything else, they are going to keep digging and information is going to keep dripping out. And shouldn't the NFL get smart and get ahead of this and either release the report that was never released or release the emails, because by the time the press gets through 650,000 emails, you know, the it's going to lose a little steam. They've got to get ahead of it. Or does anyone think that they're better served to continue to stonewall?
All right, I'm gonna jump in because I gotta tell you the Canadian view. The NFL is an embarrassment right now, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when a phone message leaked of Donald Sterling, he was the LA Clippers. Mm-hmm. He was thrown out within, what was it, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever.
It was fast.
This is an embarrassment of the NFL, Roger Goodell, of showing that it doesn't matter what you do as long as you're lining our pockets. And until that changes, and they stand up to Snyder, then they have carte blanche to do whatever they want.
But Sterling violated two rules of billionaire owners. He didn't win, and he wasn't making much money for his team.
So Snyder's never won.
But he makes money. They make a lot of money.
But is that because of Snyder, or is that because of the NFL?
Well, does the NFL have a television contract?
Because of Jack Kent Cook in the NFL.
And by the way, Jack Kent Cook was a Canadian.
But to that, you're not wrong. You know what? The thing about Snyder is for the longest time, Washington was one of the preeminent franchises. Even when they weren't winning for a long time, they always had a waiting list for season tickets. They had that stadium full. This year, I think they are last in the NFL in both ticket sales and butts in seats. There's like two different statistics they keep, and Washington's last. So does that come back, and eventually does somebody get tired of this and say, you know what, this guy actually isn't making any money for us, so, you know, out he goes. The other part of the story, though, by the way, that we did not talk about, that came out last week, was this cozy relationship between one of the NFL, the general counsel at the NFL,
right.
And Bruce Allen. So with this guy, Jeff Pasch, who was the GC at the NFL, you know, he and some of the emails that came out were basically showing a bromance between these two. And so, you know, that's not a good look either for the NFL.
To the point of him interfering in discipline against the football team and undoing penalties that have been imposed against the team.
They're living like it's the 1940s and 50s still.
What do you guys think that these owners are going to do? What are they going to do about this?
Milk, jump in
or get out ahead of it?
Well, what is the very recently which owner got kicked out?
The Carolina Panthers guy.
No.
Jerry Richardson.
Jerry Richardson.
Titans, right?
No, Panthers.
So what happened? Why did that happen?
He's a racist. He was a racist, but he was also a dinosaur. I mean, it was his time.
Right, but what the fuck? What was the difference here? This is 100 times. Why isn't Snyder forced to sell just like that guy was?
That's what we don't know is why are they circling the wagons around Snyder? What does he have on these guys?
There's a lot.
That's why I mentioned Harvey Weinstein. I think it goes that deep. I think that he has so much on some of these other owners that they're terrified to turn on him.
It's got to be.
Jerry Jones is one of the more senior owners now, and he's not going to turn on Snyder. I mean, they all have skeletons, and they're
who
not
knows what start. That sick bastard has done.
There's just not going to be a circular firing squad in the NFL as long as you have the same ownership.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's definitely not going to happen right on Goodell's watch. So I think, Bison, to your point, it's the only chance of affecting change is going to be the fans staying out of the stadiums and not buying the merch and making them feel it in the wallet.
I want to say that I want to get the last word on this, and then I want to talk a little hockey. But you know, I'm old enough. I remember all three Washington Super Bowls, and this has been particularly difficult because I'm at the point where at age 45, I really am ready to just give up on this team and give up my season tickets and stop rooting for them. And, you know, we talk about fandom and your commitment to a team. I mean, it's been really 25, 30 years of futility. But I think the combination of the futility on the field and just complete moral, ethical bankruptcy in this organization. And listen, you know, maybe I shouldn't be, you know, maybe it's not a finer point of mine that the fact that they're playing badly is influencing my decision. Maybe I should just be willing to say I'm not willing to support this kind of behavior. But I got to tell you, I'm broken on these guys. And it's as much of they're just not good people. There are not good people. And unfortunately, good people go into that organization. And for whatever reason, they make horrible, horrible choices. And so it is I'm watching this season with an eye towards this may be the last season that I root for the Washington football franchise, because it's just not worth it at this point. It really is. And that's from somebody who grew up as loyal and dedicated to that team as anybody. So well,
sounds like we have our first nomination for a punchable face of the year.
Yeah. Nice. Just remember there's two sides of a team. There's ownership and there's players. So
yeah, that's true. And that's the struggle, right? I mean, that is the struggle. But at some point, every dollar you spend on a beer, on a hot dog, on a jersey, on a hat,
right. You're all goes to the owners.
that owner's pocket.
The good news is we have a dear friend who's shown us the way, and sometimes it's okay just to switch teams. I might do the same.
Hey.
You join me and become a Chargers fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they need it now.
Well, as we like to hear, watch this space, because there's going to be more. There's going to be more here. But let's stop talking about the embarrassing NFL for a minute and turn to our North of the Border correspondent, who's going to tell us what we need to look for as we are in week one of the NHL season. Paul, take it away.
Week two now.
Whatever, we just started.
We were going to wait till week 12.
This is a big get. This is a big get for us, for the SMQ.
Paul, could you also explain to Milk who's in what division this year?
Yeah, I could.
Okay, but you guys understand, this is a huge get that we just got Paul Miller of Canada to do our NHL. Now, like, U.S. is going to go crazy over this.
Can I say one thing? I see Phelan there with a drink. I mean, this is how we drink up north of the ball. You can't see. Oh, there you go.
Right out of the bottle, bro.
Whole bottle.
There you go. Anyways, the season started and the leaves are falling off the trees, and we're going to probably get snow in about 4 weeks. And it
doesn't
sucks,
snow every day there.
No. We get golf season's about 5.5 weeks long here, so I get it as much as possible. But you know what? The season, the team. There's some really interesting teams this year. Fuck, where the hell's Nace going?
Just get water.
Away. All right, so you know,
during the hockey preview,
he's going to take a nap.
Las Vegas. Listen, it's amazing how big a hockey fan he is when the Capitals, you know, get
he was a big
bandwagon.
I have tickets.
You got
the Avi Love Fest was really, really.
No, that is true. But I, you know, the nights I texted with him watching game 7 losses was, you know, I miss those days.
We all do.
Wait a minute. How would you know about a game 7 loss in the Stanley Cup?
All right, let's go. Tell us what teams are good. Who do we want to watch?
All right.
What's worth watching this year?
The team to watch is Colorado. Colorado looks incredible. Nathan MacKinnon, arguably the best player in the league other than Connor McDavid. The one issue with Colorado is going to be their goaltending. I don't know if Darcy Kuemper is a guy that can win a Stanley Cup, because you need a world-class goalie to win a cup. You look at Montreal last year, Carey Price took them to the Stanley Cup finals. Who's the guy in the lower right corner he's like gyrating a lot.
I was just wondering if you're going
to. He wants to be given attention to that famous.
You mention someone's goalie?
I'm talking about this year, not last year and the year before.
Oh, he's the best goalie in the NHL.
So Colorado is a team to watch for, and I really think out of the East, it's the Islanders. I agree with you 100%. And again, I got the Matt Barzal is such an underrated superstar because he plays for the New York Islanders. But the addition of Zach Parise, even though he's not a guy that is going to give you a ton of points, he's a gritty son of a gun. And that's what wins you Stanley Cup rounds. And to be honest, I think they have the best coaching in the NHL. Barry Trotz has taken teams year after year. And won cups. I mean, you would have thought after winning a cup, a team would have given him some money to stay.
Right. No, crazy to let him go.
Does Daniel Snyder own the Capitals?
You would think.
The Islanders were terrible the year before Trotz came.
Yep, they are. Now, the other team I'm going to tell you that I really think could come out this year is finally Edmonton. And it's going to come down to goaltending for them. Their goaltending's iffy, but I really think that they added some real toughness in getting Zach Hyman from Toronto there. And Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are probably the best combination of forwards in the NHL. Connor McDavid is a generational player. and improve their defense, get their goaltending can withstand the season, or they trade for a goalie during the season, they could get to the finals. So those are the teams I really think are interesting this year.
Give us three players, three or four players that are just, if you have a chance to watch them, you got to watch these guys. You said McDavid, but who else?
Yeah, McDavid. Listen, I just got, hey, Hartford Whalers. Very good. Connor McDavid's generational. As good as Sidney Crosby and Ovechkin are, Connor McDavid is at a different level in the speed that he plays the game. But I would still pay to, I would always pay to see a OV play. I mean, he is as good as anybody. And the guys with Colorado, Nathan McKinnon and Landeskog, they're phenomenal players. I mean, I would pay to see them. Those are the guys to watch. Goaltending. Listen, I think hockey's so unique because one player in a playoff series can win series, and that's why I'm fascinated by goalies when it comes to the playoffs and the way Carey Price played last year, and who knows who it's going to be this year. Listen, if Chicago can eke into the playoffs, they've got Marc-Andre Fleury, and who knows how far he could take them. So, I mean,
how's Toronto going to do this year?
We're not going to talk about Toronto. Toronto is every expert has them in the top five or six. But they haven't won a playoff series since I think 1967. So I'm almost like Chris Nace on this. Until they can win something, I'm almost at the point as I don't care. I can't invest my time and my emotion anymore until they can do something.
Besides Edmonton up north, are there any other Canadian teams that Canada can put their hopes in this year?
Yeah, I mean Toronto's is probably top five, top six regular season team. Austin Matthews is gonna, if he stays healthy, should score between 50 and 60 goals this year.
Aren't the Jets supposed to be decent this year?
Yeah, but they're Winnipeg. It's Winnipeg. No one wants to be in Winnipeg.
Shit talk as a Canadian does right there.
No. But Winnipeg's a terrible place. I mean, the players are just trying to count down the days till they get to go home for summer holidays. I mean,
we have back to back Stanley Cup champions. Like,
I'm insulted.
How are you not uttering anything about Tampa? I mean, I hate everything Tampa other than milk.
Because I think everyone.
It's baffling. Tampa. It's just absolutely baffling.
No. Because you know what? I don't come on here to talk about the obvious. I mean,
there you go.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I mean, they are.
Milk's all exercise. Look at him.
They're a tremendous team. But what am I going to say about them that you don't know? They're two-time Stanley Cup defending champions. Now, I will say, last year, the way the divisions were set up, I don't think it was a true season. It's just like a straight shortened season.
An asterisk, Paul.
Yeah. A little asterisk. Yeah. Their best players hurt too, right, Milk?
Kucherov's out for a while.
Kucherov's out for a while.
And I got to tell you, just to see Milk's reaction, that comment was worth it.
I think
they lost a lot of offensive depth in the offseason.
That's two asterisks.
In the year before when they played in the bubble. Now, it'll be interesting to see what they do against the whole league, just like every other team. Listen, last night was the first time the Toronto Maple Leafs played an American-based team in 18 months.
Wow.
It's a good point.
They only had to play six or seven teams last year until they got into the conference finals.
We would have won 15 more games.
Paul, we have an expansion team with the Seattle Kraken this year. Is there any chance there's lightning in a bottle like Vegas Golden Knights did, or no shot with the Steam?
No shot. They took a different approach. Though, I will tell you, I think their uniforms their uniforms are pretty good. They're pretty good.
I love the Kraken.
I got a question.
Hockey uniforms are by far the best uniforms in sports. They just
agreed.
Are.
Agreed.
It won't happen this year, and it may not happen. But do you think Ovechkin has a chance at setting the goal scoring record, breaking Gretzky's record? And does it matter?
He does, as long as he stays healthy. If he can stay healthy, I think he will break the record. Does it matter? No. Because Gretzky is still the greatest player of all time who changed the game.
Not close.
Ovi hasn't changed the game. Crosby didn't change the game.
I'm not suggesting that it makes Ovi the greatest player of all time. I'm just saying, does it even matter who is the all-time greatest goal scorer? I mean, he would be the greatest goal scorer if he broke the record.
It's different eras. So you can't compare different eras. I mean, it's the same thing as, you know, LeBron and Michael Jordan, right? It's, you're playing at different times, different players. You know, the league has changed. So, I mean, when Gretzky was playing, there were 21 teams. There's 32 teams now. So, I mean, the talent pool becomes less and less and less. And it's a factor, right? And so does it matter? It matters to the people in Washington.
Well, I think that's okay. I hear you on that. I think you're underselling a little bit, but I appreciate
it. Listen, if he played for the Leafs, then it would matter a lot.
Yeah. So who do you have in the Stanley Cup and who wins?
I've got the Islanders and Colorado.
All right.
But I wouldn't be surprised if it's Edmonton.
I think we got to go all the way south, because Milk, I do think you've earned a little bit of a minute here to talk about hockey. You know, true, two asterisk cups, but whatever. I mean, you do have the cup, and so we'll give you a minute here if you want to weigh in.
Yeah, I mean, I echo what Paul Miller said. The obvious. Wow. Do we really need to go over it? We have the best goalie in the NHL in Vasilevsky. Prove me wrong. Braden Point, that guy is one of the best NHL players you'll find out there. Very underrated, by the way. Nobody talks about him. And it's the same team. I think they'll be back. Islanders will be very difficult.
Didn't you lose a bunch of guys, though, in the expansion draft?
They could only lose one.
You only could have lost one or two.
Well, who'd you lose? You have three guys who are no longer on the team.
One good guy.
Second
one
line player. Gordy.
I think it was Berger or something.
Gordy. Yeah.
You lost David Savard, and he was a good defenseman that you got from Columbus last year.
Yeah.
But you did pick up Corey Perry, who's going to be an underrated addition, because he is tough as nails for an old guy. He is tough, tough, tough. And Zach Bogosian came back. Listen, and the one thing, the constant in Tampa, John Cooper.
I love Cooper.
He is, him and Trotz are the best coaches. Yeah. I mean, Cooper is going to be coaching Team Canada at the Olympics. That's not an easy job to get. So you've got to do something right to get that job.
If we could only get rid of Stamkos.
And Paul, you still love the Flyers as your sleeper, right?
Oh my God, the Flyers, if they could bring back Andre Moose Dupont, Reggie Leach, and Bobby Clark and Bernie Perrant, and Rick
Eddie Hospodar.
Yeah, all those guys. Not like a Tom Bladen, the Watson brothers. Then
Dave Schultz to take care of God. Wilson Gary on Dornhofer, the Caps.
Tom Lysiak, like Don Selesky. Come on, it's great.
Wait, Paul.
77.
Yeah,
Paul, you told me it was the Stars were your sleeper. I'm kind of offended.
No, the Stars are not. No, I will tell you, a good friend of mine is Sagan's agent, and he says they're not there yet. They're not there yet. But you know what? You never know, right? Have some hope.
All right, last word on hockey, Paul, is just give us a sense of how important it is in Canada that hockey's starting, that's playing. How enthused is the country? What does it mean to Canada?
So it's sort of like, you know, sports in the United States is very regional, I find. You know, college football is the South. It's like when the Masters is starting for golf fans, it's like when baseball is starting for the diehard. Hockey is everything up here. Like every sport takes a back seat when your home team is in the mix. If the Leafs were in the mix at the same time as the Raptors or the Blue Jays, it wouldn't matter. The Leafs would just get every headline. It is the biggest thing here. And it is the equivalent to any start of the season for you guys, whatever your favorite sport is. That's how big it is. And there are people that honestly, Saturday night is hockey night in Canada. You stay home and watch hockey. You stay home and you root for your team, and you might, you have a couple pops and some pizza and some chicken wings and
poutine.
That's it.
You have poutine?
I'm not a poutine fan. People,
When do you root for the Argonauts?
Last time was 1983. Okay. The Argonauts used to be very, very popular until the Blue Jays got good and started competing for the pennant. And then the city said, we got to be more like Americans. And that's when CFL started dying out.
I never knew that Saturdays were hockey night in Canada. I thought you just stayed inside because it was too cold to go out.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. Hockey night in Canada is like the longest running sports TV show in North American history.
All right. Stay on here. Thanks for coming. We appreciate it. It's always good to get a different viewpoint. We will be covering hockey. We will try and remember that the Leafs have not won a cup in the last 20 years.
50 years.
And try not to get that wrong.
Don't forget Olympic hockey this year. Olympic hockey.
Yeah, so we'll get you to come back. We'll get you to come back for a preview of the Olympic hockey.
All right.
All right. We got to do a little bit of a speed round because there's a couple more stories we want to get through here. We're going to do this on the quick. Milk, there's at least one college football story that we have to flag and discuss. Can you give us a little bit on that?
Yeah. This, unfortunately, is kind of a big negative story. It involves Washington State's football program. Head coach Nick Rolovich, if you haven't heard by now, was fired yesterday for not adhering to, I guess it's the state mandate, right? Vaccine mandate for all state employees.
For state employees, yeah.
State school. It's the state that he's known about for, I think, several months now. And he and four assistants, high up assistants, by the way, like their entire coaching staff was fired yesterday, basically. Very sad story. I feel terrible for the players. And just weird. The guy has been very secretive about this whole thing. He's never told anybody why he's not getting vaccinated. And this goes back to like the Pac-12 media days back in August. You know, he's been peppered on this every week for 2 months, knowing that he was going to get fired on October 19th for not being vaccinated. And he chose not to, and it's a really a sad story because Washington State is a team on the rise. They won like four games in a row after kind of a crappy start, and now they're just left with nothing. No coach, no head coach, no assistants. Their defensive coordinator is now the head coach. But real unfortunate situation there, and appreciate y'all's thoughts on the whole situation and what you think. But look, the mandate was the mandate and he knew it and didn't adhere to it and he got fired. And it's
the highest paid state employee.
Yeah.
At $3.2 million a year, which that's rules. A whole different conversation, right?
Rules are rules. Rules.
And rules. He's gone.
Go coach a private school.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? How about if you're going to take that position, have the courage of your convictions and tell everyone in advance so they can plan for your replacement and not fuck your players who are relying on you to be their head coach.
Yeah.
And he coward.
Kept saying, I'd like to keep my reasoning to myself, but I mean, what the hell?
But I will say in his defense, at least he has not been a true like anti-vaxxer preaching that vaccines are bad and terrible and the government shouldn't tell you what to do. That he hasn't had that view. He's been fairly level-headed in just saying, listen, this is my choice. Anybody who thinks they should get the vaccine should go out and get it. I would encourage you to do it. I mean, he has not blowtorched his way through this. It just it more doesn't really make any sense as to why he did this. So it's weird. I think it's a weird situation.
That's fine, but if you know you're going to get fired for 2 months, like either resign early, like resign in the summer, or did he think he would get an exception? I don't know. I mean, he did try to get some sort of exemption.
Yeah, for give the school a chance to transition.
Yeah, just to leave the kids like that. I mean,
what if the kids told him, you know what, it's my choice to show up for practice? I think not.
Yeah, and I'm guessing all those kids were required to be vaccinated. Yeah. I mean, rules are rules.
Right. Yeah.
Rules. He could have also hit up Evander Kane's inside man.
Oh my God.
Vaccine card.
What an idiot.
That's right. That's right.
What an idiot. Card?
Yeah, that was terrible. I'm not saying to check out the line in the Washington State game this weekend, but I'm not saying not to do it either.
All right.
That didn't work with the Raiders.
Hope, give us
that's
a quick,
true. It could win.
Hope, give us a little Major League Baseball postseason update.
Well, when we last left the pod, it looked like the Giants were going to take care of the Dodgers. They were up 2-1. And, you know, they lost in that amazing game five check swing that wasn't, according to the ump. And, you know, 107 wins, best team in baseball, and they're gone. So what we're left with is the ALCS is Boston and Houston. Yankee fans are rooting hard for the Red Sox over the Astros, because the Astros are such cheaters.
Damn right. And so is the whole country.
Cheaters. Yeah, I was watching Joe this morning, and Willie Geist is like, the entire Yankee fandom is in favor of Boston until the end of the ALCS, and then not so much.
Then we come National League team.
Yeah, fans. Exactly. Yeah. But Boston, look, 3 grand slams in the last 2 games, never been done before. Back-to-back innings in game 2. They are seizing control. They go for the jugular to go up 3-1 today. Making a difference, I think, in both leagues is having it a home field. Last year, you know, they were playing in Arlington or some other neutral site, but the crowd at Fenway is just nuts, and it definitely adds to the help as far as the Sox go. Same thing going on in the National League. The Braves dispatched the Brewers, going up against the hated Dodgers. The Braves, once again, just like 2 years last year, go up 2-0, and now they're at home. The Dodgers are at home, and I'm watching, you know, real time, and the Dodgers are up 2-0 in the bottom of the first. So it looks like Dodgers will fight back. I think they win today. It looks like we might be going 6 or 7 in the NLCS, but the Braves are going to be tough to dispatch, and they get home field because the Dodgers are the wild card. Imagine that, 106 wins, and they do not have home field in the NLCS. So anyway, I think, you know, next week we'll know what we're looking for the World Series. But right now, if you're a betting man, I would say it's Boston and Atlanta going to the World Series.
Who's the closer for the
Brewers? Oh, there's a lot of baseball left.
Who's the closer for the Brewers? Who's supposed to be the best closer?
Hader.
So he comes in the 8th inning and is looks like he's going to close down the Braves. Strikes out the first 2 guys and starts both of them out with a slider. And Freddie Freeman comes up to bat, and he is so smart. He's like, this guy's starting everybody out with a slider, and just drills it over the wall. I have to give him credit. He is a really smart player.
But he's having some issues in the NLCS.
Yeah, well, but he knew that pitch was coming.
Good baseball update. Just like I've been saying all along, all season, from the very beginning, the San Francisco Giants will not win the World Series.
Because they have nobody on the team.
You got a special 2 minutes here. You want to get through?
I just.
Well, that's enough on the Eagles. So
all right, okay. Good. Moving on. You got anybody to punch?
Listen, I hope. That you guys will reserve for me when we get to episode 86, that we'll give a shout out to Zach Ertz, because there are few Philadelphia athletes that understood and understand the city of Philadelphia the way Zach Ertz did. 9-year player with the team, second most receptions in team history, just behind Hall of Famer Harold Carmichael. He had the game-winning touchdown in Super Bowl 52 that gave the Eagles a 38-33 lead over the Patriots. He'll forever beloved by the city. But I think what a lot of people don't know about Zach Ertz, him and his wife Julie, who's a soccer superstar on the U.S. Women's National Team, what they do for the city, they have something called the Ertz Family Foundation, which is well known within Philadelphia. Philadelphia will always be home to Zach Ertz because of that family foundation. They have started the fundraising for something called the House of Hope, which is in North Philadelphia, which is intended to give 300 to 500 kids who are underprivileged and don't have a place to go oftentimes after school or on weekends, Wi-Fi, help them with food insecurity, computers, even college planning. Zach Ertz has given $100,000 towards the $1.2 million. The Zach Ertz Family Foundation has given another $100,000. He's just a great, great guy. He's a great guy in the community. I know that there are a lot of Philadelphia players that come back to Philadelphia and will end up getting booed for whatever reason, just because we're boorish fans. Zach Ertz will never pay for another meal in Philadelphia. He will forever be adored. And if the Eagles don't make the playoffs this year, which is unlikely that they will make the playoffs, there will be a lot of people rooting for Zach Ertz and the Arizona Cardinals to get some more rings on his hand.
Good one.
Cheers to Zach Ertz.
And you know what the best ending was for Zach Ertz? He got a touchdown against Tampa.
Yes.
You know it.
I think he's still the best tight end on the team.
Did you know Ben Simmons was removed from practice, suspended one game today?
Yes. Oh. In the U.S., oh, yeah. We hear that. In the U.S., we hear that about 8 hours earlier. Did you also know the U.S. landed a man on the moon, Paul Miller?
Yeah.
Did you get that by the Titanic sunk?
Did you get that by Pony Express?
Did you see the video of his practice? He had his cell phone in his pants pocket.
Have we punched him in the face yet?
Yeah, last week.
Last week we did.
That's there. All right, we got to do. Speaking of punchable face, it's that time.
It's this week's punchable face,
and we're going to do two quick ones here related. Although I have to admit, I did not think that this was going to be a close call this week. First of all, once again, we talked about them a lot, but once again, the Washington football team and Dan Snyder, they're getting punched in the face this week, because when all this bad news was coming out all week, they decided apparently along the way that, you know, like Rooster said at the beginning, Snyder likes distraction. So what does he do? He decides on Tuesday, at least it comes out on Tuesday, that at Sunday's game, they will retire the jersey of Sean Taylor. Now, Sean Taylor, everybody knows who he is, but it's really hard to articulate what he means to Washington, D.C. He is in a long list of great Redskins. I'm going to say it, Redskins. He really is kind of occupies a unique space because of how short his career was cut. He was, of course, murdered in his home after about 4 years in the NFL. And really, you listen to NFL safeties talk about him today. He changed the position. He was really one of the greatest and would have had a Hall of Fame career. But Dan Snyder decides to use Sean Taylor's jersey retirement as a distraction from his bad press. And then he comes out and says, well, we've been planning this for months until, you know, the media decides to interview Sean Taylor's father, who says, I just found out this week, too. So, yeah. Dan Snyder, you're getting punched. Washington football team, everybody involved in this decision, you get punched. Oh, make it
Let's
even
not forget
worse.
He tried to sell towels.
That's right.
Sell towels.
He got 10,000 towels with number 21 on them and said, hey, if you're not one of the first 10,000, you can buy one for
$21. So, oh, that's nice.
But then to add a last punchable face of the week, then during the game, Patrick Mahomes' brother, and I don't even know who this guy is, Jackson Mahomes.
He needs
Mahomes,
to be punched.
I don't know. I'm not sure who he is, what he is. He's probably like a TikTok, but apparently
he's a TikTok personality.
Yeah. And so he gets to be on the sideline, and he decides that it's a good idea to post a TikTok video of him dancing on the number 21 on the field. He's inside the rope surrounding it, and he's in there dancing on the guy's fucking grave, basically.
How did he not get punched during the act?
Douchebag.
Now, he's come
there
out
and apologized. Other people were standing inside
and
there.
Said that he was told to stand there, that that's where they put people. Look, even if you were told to put there, you don't need to post your dancing on it on TikTok. If you were told to stand there by team officials, well, let's just go back and punch them again.
Yeah, it's a fucking regular brawl.
Yeah, it's just a massive fucking brawl in Washington this week. Everybody gets punched in the face. So that's your punchable faces of the week.
Boom.
It's a fucking mess. That's all.
5 minutes for roughing from Paul Miller.
Yeah, that's right.
I gotta go.
All right, guys. Good episode.